We started a book of Romans, chapter 1. My plan was to get through 1 to 7 last week, but I got only to the end of verse 1. And as I was preparing for this again, to do 1 to 7 again, I barely got out of verse 1 again. So, you know, when people read the book of Romans, there's usually been a revival in people's hearts. We sung that today. Lord, I want you to take everything. Right? So the book of Romans, the first verses 1 to 7 is just a summary of the whole book of Romans. So that's why it's so hard to even, with the first 7 verses, it's so hard to even get out of that, because it's a summary of all the whole thing about Romans. And in Romans, you think about, you know, I wrote Romans 1 from 1:18, so chapter 1, verses 18 to chapter 3 to 20, deals with sin, need for salvation, God's holiness in condemning sin, and then the righteousness that we need. We're slaves to sin. It talks about we're slaves to sin. But then as it goes on in Romans 3 to 5, it talks about salvation, the way of salvation, God's grace and justification for the sinner. God provides a way. And righteousness is credit to those who believe and trust and hope, put their hope and faith in Christ alone. So justification. And his righteousness is given to us. It's not our righteousness. So God's righteousness is imputed to the believer. So we become slaves to Christ. I know when you guys open up with Matthew, it talks about if you want to follow the Lord, you become a slave to Christ. It's not our will be done, but his will be done. So you look at different gospels that are being taught in different churches. They said, this is what, it's all about you, man-centered. Unfortunately, good thing for this church, we're God-centered, Christ-centered. And that's how we ought to be, is Christ-centered. It's all about Christ, it's not about us. It's a little hard for us at times to swallow that pill, saying that, what do you mean it's not about me? It's not about you. It's about Christ working in your life, changing you, have different thoughts, behaving differently because of how Christ dramatically changed you, dying to self, what I think I should be doing today should be differently lined up to what the Word of God says you should be doing today. Being an open book to people to be able to read and you're reflecting the life of Christ to others. That's why the book of Romans is such a great book. And Paul was, why he says in verse 1, he says, Paul announces that he's a bondservant of Christ. I can't remember what script, but there's, I think NLV, I think it was, says a bond slave. A slave is somebody who's been bought and paid for, that is owned by somebody else. Have we been bought by Christ? So, bond slave, the word for slave is the most lowly, humble term in the Greek language to denote a slave. It means owned by one, by another. One who has been purchased. We've been purchased by Christ, by the blood of, through his blood, through the cross. And it indicates this, a slave who would always be The slave is actually desiring to do what his master's will is. What's the will of our Lord? What's the will of God Almighty for our lives? Be set apart. And we sung that today. It's amazing how we read the scriptures or even what we read and sung today. He's asking us to be set apart. He set us apart to be different, to live differently. Paul calls himself the kind of bond slave of Jesus Christ. He belongs to Jesus. He even puts the designation that he is a slave of the King of Kings, ahead of his apostleship. He said, so when somebody says, who are you? I'm a slave to Christ. Not that I'm a... So you're recognizing that you are utterly dependent on him, and that you're bought and paid for, that I'm not just, oh, I'm a apostle. Because you see, a lot of times people put these titles. Doctors say, doctor and so-and-so. Lawyer says, this lawyer. Accountant would put all these different things behind them. Certified accountants. People love titles, right? People love titles. And they feel more important when they have a title in front of their name. But we look at Paul. He didn't put a title before his name. He could have went Apostle Paul. You know, I wrote a large portion of the New Testament. I am this person, this. But he says, he introduced himself as a bond slave to Christ. That's how he introduced himself. The lowest of low. A slave. And to the Roman people, they would recognize that because a lot of Romans, they had slaves. Through wars, right? They become a slave and you know, there's a large portion of the Roman Empire was slaves. So the people in Rome identified and knew what Paul was saying, right? And so Romans 3:23, well, he even puts Romans 3:23, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul was born a slave of sin at his physical birth. He became a bond slave of Christ through his second birth. So the cords that bound him before, his old master, Satan, you know, before you become a believer, you're controlled by Satan. Every person who's a non-believer is controlled by Satan. So he was controlled by Satan. So he was torn. He was taken apart from that. He was taken out of that and separated because of Christ's death, because he received Christ. Acts 9 talks about his... when he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, says, you know, he proclaimed, Lord, Lord. Right? He's seen him. Then he asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? He recognized the lordship of Jesus Christ. His second response is like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right? Do I ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is that my heart every day? Say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Not what I think I should be doing today or what I have planned, but Lord, what do you want me to do for you? And so for a Roman citizen, as such as Paul, because he was a Hebrew, he was also a Roman citizen. So to choose to be a servant was the unthinkable. Yet Paul chose to be completely dependent and obedient to his beloved master, that's Jesus Christ. So what is your attitude towards Christ, your master? I think we have this hard time in our minds because we don't like to be controlled by somebody else or influenced by somebody else. We think we have free will. Well, we do have free will. We do have free will. It's a choice. Do I really want to live for Christ? Do I really want to surrender my life wholeheartedly to Christ? Do I want to be utterly dependent on Christ? Right? We can't be lukewarm. We can't be, and so often sometimes I am, right? We could be that way. What we've sung today, do we want to be wholeheartedly for Christ? It's, and you look at the book of Romans, man, it really hits it home. Because it convicts us. Doesn't it? This is only verse 1. And you always wonder why people have a hard time wanting to the book of Romans. Because it's such great conviction, but there's such great hope. There's good news in this book. From Genesis to Revelation, there's good news. And so, or do we have a willingness to serve and obey? Jesus enables us. He enables you, right? He gave us the Holy Spirit who enables us, empowers us to be, want to be more in line with Him. So He's given us the Holy Spirit who enables us to live a life that would honor Him. Please, that's a good thing. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. I can't do this on my own. I need the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, a bondslave of Christ, called as an apostle. So apostles once sent out on a commission, an official representative of his Lord. He was called to assume that office. Paul was called in the sense of God summoned him to that position and placed him in it. If you read that, I didn't read it today. Last week, I'm just kind of going over from last week. Acts 9 talks about that. Jesus commissioned him and said to go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Jewish man, right, going to share the gospel to the Gentiles. And so, the office held huge responsibility. Think of the office that we are in. We are called to be Christ's ambassador. That's a high office, isn't it? We are His ambassadors. The scripture says we are His ambassadors. Because we've been bought and paid for in full by Christ, for Christ, we are His ambassadors. So the office that we sit in is a high office. We are representing Christ to those who do not know Christ. That's a high office. And sometimes you feel like, man, I do not measure up. But Christ enables us. It strengthens us to do what He's asked us to do. He doesn't just kick you out the door and say, hope for the best. He gives you the Holy Spirit who enables you, empowers you to live the life. And that's the good news. You don't do this on my own strength. Right? So are we willing to trust the Lord and depend on the Lord for His strength? And able to fulfill what He's asked us to do? So he's set apart for the gospel. Apostleship, by the word, separates us onto the gospel. So we're taken out of the world and separate us to the gospel. And within the gospel, we're giving boundaries how to live. For me, become a follower of Christ, we are given boundaries how to live. And sometimes you see believers not living anything godly. So my question is, are they even believers? because God gives us boundaries. He gives us boundaries so we know what is right and wrong. Well, he's already placed on us before that. But he gives us boundaries, knowing how we should live. So it's, and with knowing the boundaries, you actually have freedom. Right? When you know your boundaries, you actually have freedom. Okay? You have that. So in 1 Peter 2:1, it says, therefore. So 1 Peter 2:1, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Wow. So we're separated. This is how we should be, we ought to live. This is the boundaries that he's given us. He says, 1 Peter 2:1, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As new babes, newborn babes. So Emmanuel knows he's the only one in here that doesn't have any malice or any deceit right now. Or any envy. But he desires pure milk of the word. Do we desire the pure milk of the word? Do we desire the word of God? So that you may grow. Thereby, indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Sometimes I always pray, Lord, I want that Damascus experience. So I'm totally sold out for you. Paul was totally sold out to the Lord Jesus right off the hop. There was no turning back. He was totally and utterly dependent on the Lord, and you see that through his life, the fruit. Another evidence of, the fruit that Paul had was amazing, because he was totally living and dying for Christ, no matter what was happening, no matter what shipwreck he went through, no matter how he was stranded, beaten, or anything, he did it for the Lord. So we are to put off all the desires of the world, of this world. I just read them. Therefore, aside all malice. So, desires to put off the things of this world, to be marked off from others with boundaries, to set apart and place them within limits. So, we're supposed to put off malice, supposed to put off deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. This is the boundary that Christ has given us. Worldly desire to deny ungodliness. That's a world. To put off worldly desires. I don't want to live an ungodly life. I don't want to live in the same sin that I lived prior to knowing Christ. I don't want anything to do with that lifestyle anymore. I don't want that way of talking and attitude, behavior. I don't want that anymore. I really want the new things that Christ provides. And he says, then as he continues, we shall live soberly. So that's putting off, right? Living in the world is not very sober. Because they like to over-medicate themselves through drugs and alcohol and whatever else they want. And then it says, as we continue, we should live soberly, righteously. How do we live righteously? By applying the word of God to our very lives. And to live godly in this present age. He's given us all these things so that we are enabled to be set apart and live this way. That's the good news. It's God that gives us this so that we're able to fulfill it. It's not me trying to do it. It's God working in your very heart, changing your attitude, changing your perspective, changing your thought pattern, changing your language, changing how you're thinking. He gives us to take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. He's given us that. I don't have to think. bad thoughts, right? I can if I want to, right? And then he gave himself up for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, redeem us from all lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Do we desire, are we zealous for the good works of Christ? Sometimes we're not, sometimes we are. We get hot and cold. It's like, Lord, help me. This is my heart desire. I know I didn't desire to live this way today for you. Forgive me. Help me. I want to live a more and more life that is surrendered to you. Lord, I don't want the things of this world. I want you more and more all the time. This is my own heart desire. To truly be set apart from the world, truly live as a servant for Christ. To be separated to the gospel. Hopefully that's all our hearts. And this is why, that's just think about Romans 1:1. It's about the slave. I'm a slave to Christ. Right? Ephesians 4:21, it says, Ephesians 4:21 says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, so that you put off. It's a choice. You put off. Lord, I desire to put this off. I don't want to talk this way any longer. You have to help me in this. Lord, I surrendered my language to you, my thought pattern to you. Taking captive. So we put off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupted according to the deceitful lusts. That's the old nature. But, so in verse 23 it says, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We have to put off and put on. So when we hear this word slave, we think of how someone was sold and forced into without consent, right? When you hear slave, you think, well, these people group was enslaved. They were tortured, beaten. But what's a biblical view of a slave? So we look at the Old Testament. So the biblical view of when a Hebrew was unable to pay off a debt, they occurred, right? They became another Hebrew, they could become a slave to another Hebrew. So if I had a massive debt, I could go to John and say, John, I want to be your slave to pay off this debt I owe you. Right? And so I could go to him and say that, do that. Right? Under the law of Moses, I was able to do that. There's concessions in there how that was all to be upheld. Right? So an Israelite man could sell himself as a slave to pay off debt. Leviticus 25:39. So you find that in the Old Testament. Leviticus 25:39. And it only lasts for 6 years. So I could only be John's slave for 6 years. And that's found in Exodus 21 and verse 2, Deuteronomy 15, 12. So I could be his slave for this length of time. Max, on the seventh year, I was free from him. All debt paid for, right? And there's more into it, but you can read up on it. So that my debt would be paid off. So what happens if John really treated me like he was really amazing to me as a slave, right? He was the best slave master ever. He treated me, I loved him because of how he treated me. He showed respect. He fed me well. He looked after me. I didn't need nothing, right? And I said, you know what? I really want to serve you wholeheartedly because you have honored me. You didn't call me down, but you showed me respect. So in Deuteronomy and Exodus, it allows the Hebrew slave to choose a permanent and legal agreement, so a contract, by submitting to a ceremony in which the ear was pierced. So if I want to be John's slave all my life, for the rest of my life, I would do this ceremony. I get my ear pierced at the city gate. I would look good with the earring, not a dangly one. But this ceremony proclaimed that I made a personal choice under my own free will to be John's slave for the rest of my life. I did it wholeheartedly. So in the book of Moses, and so under the law, I am able to do that. See what I'm kind of laying down? So when Paul made that statement, I'm a bond servant, the Romans understood what he was saying. Paul proclaimed that he is a slave to Christ, proclaiming that he belonged to Christ. His body, soul, and spirit, Paul proclaimed he made a decision to follow Christ wholeheartedly for the rest of his life. By his own will, not forced into it. He did it wholeheartedly to follow Christ. So when he proclaimed he was a bondservant of Christ, he's proclaiming he gave his life to Christ. No matter what happened, he belonged to Christ, to be used by Christ, for Christ, to be his servant. Sounds like Floyd when we say we'll be born again. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a slave to Christ. Amen. Do I surrender to Christ? Right? Now this is verse 1. This is I love researching. And researching, and I was like, my goodness, this makes sense. Am I a slave to Christ? Do I wholeheartedly want to follow him no matter what? Do I want to lay aside everything that I have for his sake? Do I truly want to serve him wholeheartedly? Because we make a confession of faith. I think of the baptism, we're making a public, as we get our ears pierced, the Hebrews, they get the ear pierced, we go in the confession tank to get baptized and come up and says, I'm a child of God. We're doing it publicly, right? That's what they did, the slaves did. They made a public declaration declaring what they did, or saying, I want to serve this master for the rest of my life. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow him and serve him wholeheartedly. So he recognizes that time. He recognizes that his time, his strengths, his talents, his entire life did not belong to him. And they belong to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus was saying this in John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. John 12:26. So anyone who serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And so that's the premise. God's honored when we follow him with our very lives. We sung that today, even all my intellect, all my thoughts, all these things. Lord, I want them submitted to you. God, use my giftings, my talents, my intellect. You know, we don't get we don't just put our brain off to the side when we come to Christ. He wants us to think and meditate on His Word and to apply His Word to our very life. He wants us to know Him much more than what we do now. My goodness, I learn more about Him every day. So the good news of God was promised by God in Scripture. So now we're going to get it out of verse 1. Right? That's why I was having a hard time. I was like, man, I need to get out of verse 1 today. So I'll read 1 to 7. It says, Paul, bondservant of Jesus Christ, or bondslave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, set apart, which he promised before. So he promised before through his holy scriptures, in his holy scriptures, through his prophets, in his holy scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power and according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, through Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are called called of Jesus Christ. We're all called, right? When you become a child of God, you're called, set apart for His use. So it doesn't matter what you think, or we can make up excuses why I can't do this. There's no excuses. I don't see any excuses. We're called, and He develops us. You know that? He develops you. I could never, before I became a pastor, I was like, I was more like, it's like, I never want to get up in front and read scripture in front or pray in front of people. This is really, I can't have done this without God. Because I would have hid in the corner the whole rest of my life. But you know, when you get people around you to encourage you and say, you know what, I see something in you that God's revealing to me, that you have a gift, a talent, come on, let's step out. Let's get out of that boat. Paul got out of that boat. Right? None of the other disciples got out of the boat. At least he had the courage to get out of the boat. Okay? Peter, not Paul. Sorry, my apologies. You're right. Right? How many of us don't want to get out of that boat? At least he was willing to get out of the boat. Take that step. How many of us are making up too many excuses why we can't get out of that boat? Right? It just, so in verse 7, to all who are in Rome, who love God, called to be saints. So, once you become a child of God, you're no longer a sinner, even though sometimes we do sin. So a child of God is not called a sinner any longer. But a saint, a co-heir, a child of God, right? Even though sometimes we may fail, but we've been bought and paid for in full by Christ. Our mind has to change that. We're no longer sinners. Even though we may have a tendency to sin, but that's the old nature. We are going to have that struggle until that we meet Christ in the air. But we are different. He's captivated your heart. He's changing your heart. He's changing how you're living. He's changing your language. He's changing how you perceive things. I hope he's doing that. And I hope that you're surrendering to him. Say, Lord, I am tired of this lifestyle. I want to live how you want me to live. And so that's the good news. So when Paul says in Romans 1:2, he says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, Paul is referring to the Old Testament as the New Testament. So there's no separation. There's the law of Moses, the Torah and the Tanakh, everything we learned, we have to know the Old Testament. If I do not know the Old Testament today, I will not understand what's being taught in the New. There's no separation from the old and new. So, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit. So throughout the Old Testament, we are given the promise of the good news of God. And that's what he's referring to in verse 2. He's reminding us, right? Throughout the whole Old Testament, we are given the promise of the good news of God. Everything in the Old Testament points to the good news, and that's Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end, it points to Christ. Many people today have devalued, right, the Old Testament. I can name off some pastors that says, the Old Testament is useless. You don't need it. Andy Stanley is one. I'll name him. I don't care. Because you have to call it out. Andy Stanley says the Old Testament is useless. He says a lot of things which I question. Which is very heartbreaking. Because I see how his father was a godly man who served the Lord wholeheartedly, and his son went down the wrong avenue. So, you got people, pastors like that, saying the Old Testament now invalid, don't need it. You know, they say this because now we're living under the new covenant. Friends, never devalue the Old Testament. Read it, study it, understand it. It will strengthen your faith as you understand what God did. And he did not do anything random. God gave us so many prophetic words, prophecies, over 300 that Jesus fulfilled so far, the time he went to the cross. Jesus still, I think, 330, something like that. Prophecies. It's impossible. But for God, it's not. And they're not just random things. God had to be involved in the whole stuff. And so he's doing this to reveal who he is to us. So God did not do any random act. Instead, he graciously had a plan of redemption in place. From the beginning, he had Jesus in mind. He knew he had to send his son prior to the fall. He knew Adam and Eve would sin. He knew Adam would sin. He knew that Eve was going to be deceived. He knew that. He's never not taken off guard by anything that's happening in their lives. He knows, and he's there. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So the Old Testament points and reveals God's good news, the redemption through Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. Everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. The sacrifices, the feasts, the tabernacle, the furniture in the tabernacle, the placement of the furniture in the tabernacle. Everything points to Christ. Studying the types of Christ in the Old Testament is fascinating. And your faith will grow. You see, when we study God's word, man, you should be like, I can't get enough of this. Lord, you really captivated my heart because everything you do, you said you would do. And everything that is coming up and going to happen, he's given us prophecies so that we're prepared for what is yet to come. So we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be worried. I don't have to hide in my basement. I could actually have boldness to share the truth of the gospel to those who are going to perish if they don't know Christ. It doesn't matter how good of a person you think you are, you need Christ. If you don't have Christ, well, you won't go to heaven. You will go to hell. Truly separated from God for all eternity. And it's not a ballpark. It's not a place of warm sunshine and umbrellas. A place that is torture. And you can never be satisfied. Your lips are burning, sores, and it's an agonizing thing. But yet we have the good news. So when Paul goes in verse 2-4, it says the gospel is promised beforehand through his prophets. In his holy scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and whom through the spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the son of God, in his resurrection from the dead, Jesus is our Lord, holy man, holy God. He had to be incarnated as a man with a sinless nature, had no sin. He had to be that sacrifice. And in order to fulfill God's law of the sacrifice, he had to be fully man in order to be that sacrifice for man, but yet fully God. He chose to do that on your behalf. So this speaks of the humanity of the deity of God. There's both man and God. So sometimes that this concept is really hard for us to grasp and understand, but the truth that we as believers receive by faith to be able to comprehend this. It takes a man to step out. Jesus had to come to take us out of our sins. He had to be sinless to be that perfect lamb. God came into the world through Jesus to be a sin sacrifice, a sinless offering for our sins. He was the descendant of David and was birthed through a virgin. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. You know, Jesus is the word of God. In Genesis, it talks about that. He is the word of God. So the word of God became flesh. Dwelt among us. This is John 1:14. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory, and glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, and he who comes after me is preferred before me. And he was before me. And all his fullness and all received, and all grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but the grace came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is the in the bosom of the Father, he declared him." So 1 Peter 1:9 says, "But the precious blood of Christ, of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot." This is what, you know, what the Old Testament foretold of Christ. And it fulfilled in 1 Peter 1:19, it says, "But the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world," proving that God knew this had to take place. He had, not just he knew it was going to happen. He foreordained it. He knew this was going to happen. Didn't happen, didn't thank God by chance. He didn't, like, "Oh, I can't believe this happened." He knew this would happen. He knows what exactly was happening today. You know that? There has to be an Antichrist coming. There has to be a one world order to be in place. These things have to happen. It's kind of hard to wrap our minds on this. But yet we're supposed to stand up for what is right and what is holy. We don't, like, we're in a quandary. Lord, I really want this one world government to take place because I really don't want to be here. But yet I need to share the truth of the gospel to those who are perishing. We still need to take up stand for righteousness and holiness. But I also know these things have to happen. That's the tough thing. So please know that you have been set apart for the good news of God. Right? I'm wrapping up in verse 7 now. You know, that grace to you, peace from God, our Father, our Lord Jesus, that you were supposed to be his saints, called to be saints, to share the good news. So we've all been set apart for the good news of God. You're no longer your own. As a servant, a slave, you were bought by Christ, for Christ. The purchase price is more precious than money. No amount of money could ever pay for your be right with God. No money could ever do that. The purchase price was the blood of Christ, the Son of God. You no longer your own. Now you are no longer your own doing, your own thing in a world that grows increasingly out of step with the good news of God. You see that it's being us more and more out of step of God every single day. Once was not called sin, now it's sin. Now is called good things. Righteousness is called sin. Really flipped up. Like it's just upside down, right? It's like flipped right over. There we go. You know? You are called and set apart by God to live and to share the good news. We're called to be separated from this world to share the good news. It's such an exciting life. I can't believe they're overjoying people cheering. They all look downcast. They're like, oh my goodness, what am I stepping into? I can't believe I want to be a follower of Christ because, man, my life would just be all torn up. What do you mean I can't do this anymore? Why are we downcast? We're thinking. It's like, this is a sobering thing. Right? It's a sobering thing. It's like, this means I need to, you know, what is it? One scripture says, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I've asked? How can we call him Lord if we don't do and obey his word? That really struck me the other day when I read that. How many times have I not listened to God's word and not obeyed him? Repented. So I want to do my Lord's will. It's going to make you grow. It's going to stretch you. He has put us to a place where we have to depend on him. He's going to take you out of your comfort zone. He's going to make you grow. He's going to make you think about things. He's going to convict you of things. But it's how we're going to respond to those convictions by the Holy Spirit. So you're called. Set apart for God to live and to share the good news. It is such an exciting life to live, and when you realize our life on earth is not our own. We're living for Jesus, and he's living in us. His Holy Spirit lives within you. You are his. We are in this world, but we're not a part of this world. Right? We have been separated and set apart from this world for the good news of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the good news. Praise God for buying you back from sin. Praise God for His goodness and His mercy and His grace. When I thinking about the slave, when he purchased myself, think of it, we can never pay him back. The debt I owed is so much, the debt we all owe is so great, we can never pay him back. Debt I owed is so great, how could you not want to surrender your life to Him and to follow Him wholeheartedly? Because how gracious and merciful He is to you and I. How can we not praise Him? How can we not follow Him? How can we not want to live wholeheartedly for Him, totally sold out for Him, to live for Him like none other? It's going to be exciting. Now we're going to go down to verse 8 next time. I think this is going to take a long time to get through Romans at my rate. How many of us are we excited to read? I would encourage us to go through the book of Romans. Even one verse at a time. And pray and meditate on what God's speaking to you about. It's going to bring us, it's a sobering thing. So hopefully this made sense. Hopefully I didn't go down any rabbit hole or left more questions. But Father, we thank you that I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word penetrates the very core of our soul and reveals things in our own life. And Lord, if we are lukewarm, if we're not really sold out for you, Lord, that we would truly desire to live, to really surrender to you wholeheartedly. Let our words that we speak line up to what, how we would live. So Lord, I thank you that you are very gracious and very patient, God, that you desire us to be right with you, to live a life that honors you, to be really and utterly sold out for you. So Lord, as we have sung this morning, Lord, that we can live for you wholeheartedly, that we truly can live with being not ashamed of you. So Lord, I pray that we would not be ashamed of you. Lord, that you would continue to empower us and give us boldness to share the truth of the gospel, the good news to those who do not know the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing people into our lives that are on the fence or wanting to know the truth. And Lord, that your truth truly sets us free, takes us away, cuts off the bondages that this world puts us in. And thank you, Lord, that your word gives us freedom and liberty, an exciting life, that we could actually see you at work and be a part of what you're doing. So Lord, I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that you would bring such a renewal, refreshing into their lives, that their eyes would be fixed on you and their love for you would be overflowing. Lord, thank you for your holy word. Lord, I pray for your protection over our minds and over our hearts. Lord, we take captive every thought we try to set up against the knowledge of you. Lord, we apply the blood of Christ over our minds. Lord, that you put your hedge of protection over us. And Lord, we would take captive those thoughts. That after service, those doubts, we take those thoughts captive right away, not to play with those things. Lord, let your word penetrate our hearts. Let us be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
You know what's really cool? Is that I had no idea what he was talking about when he was preparing. And it just seems that the songs lined up perfectly. And that's just the Holy Spirit right there. So cool. So obviously the Lord's trying to say something. Amen. Let's just finish off today's service with some praise and worship.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning. That endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to bind, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Jesus.
Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Praise Him above the heavenly host.
Jesus.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Be blessed, you guys. Have a great day.
Let earth and heaven, saints proclaim the power and might of His great name. Let us exalt on bended knee. Praise God, the Holy
to be blessings, guys, and God bless you guys. Thank you for being a part of my family.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Tell you before I ask.
That's fine. You can ask.